All right, let's go ahead and take our seats. Open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Concluding this morning, Lord willing, our study on the colts. And we've finished up with the last day's colt here. We'll try to... I think we've pretty much beaten this horse to death. We'll try and get it over with this morning, move on to some fresh ground. I believe what we'll probably do starting next Sunday is we'll be doing a study on the King James Bible and why King James Bible we believe is the Word of God. It's good that you believe that, but knowing why and having some ammunition, as it were, to help defend the Word of God. I think that's good for all Christians to be able to do that. Doesn't mean you need to be a theologian or a scholar. It won't take much. When you have the truth, when you're in the right position, it doesn't take much to show it if you either have it or you don't. So we'll get into some basic manuscript evidence and some other things to kind of secure your faith in the Word of God. So pray about that, and we'll try to do something with that, Lord willing, beginning next week. All right, now if you'll look in 1 Timothy, in chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Kenny, would you ask the Lord to bless our Sunday school hour?
Dear God, we thank you for Brother Ray for the words he's already started out this morning through you, Father. God, I pray for each and every one here, my brothers and sisters, myself, that we'll stand steadfast with you, Father, and run our course to the end, Father, and just don't give up. Dear God, we love you. We thank you for all things, Father. Be with the ones that lost loved ones, the ones that's in the hospital, the traveling mercies for the ones that's traveling, dear God. We thank you for these blessings already this morning, Father, that we don't even deserve, Father. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I've had several questions as we've been going through this this study here, and one of them is simply this. Well, you know, I try to watch what I eat. I think it's good to be able to discipline your body as far as what you eat. Hey, I'm fine with that. I don't have any problem with that at all. Like I said, I'm not telling you what to eat or what not to eat. I could care less what you do. Amen. When it comes to biblically disciplining your body in the matter of food, it's real easy. It's called fasting. That's the discipline of the body when it comes to eating in the Bible. It's not eating. See? So if you want to discipline your body and keep it under, the Bible says it's called fasting. Fasting is not, well, I'm just having just juice. Or Gatorade or whatever. That's not fasting. Fasting is eating absolutely nothing. Water only. All right? That's biblical fasting. But if you're just doing it without prayer, then all you're doing is just not eating. To do it scripturally, it's fasting and prayer. And the idea is, as you're putting your body under, you're bringing it into subjection, and so that the Spirit of God can do what needs to get done. That's a whole study on itself on fasting that we'll probably do sometime in the church once I can get enough of you spiritual enough to handle it. Yeah, because guess what? If I'm going to teach on it, we're going to do it.
Amen.
You might not be ready for that yet. So, all right, another question was, well, are you telling me that if I won, I could go on a Twinkie and Ho-Ho diet? In other words, just eat junk food. And as long as I pray over it, God will bless it and I'll be healthy. You could, but you wouldn't. You know, I know that. Because you could have already done it. And you didn't. Why? Because your body's your body. Your body knows what you need to eat. Have you ever got a hankering for something? A hankering, that's a southern word, isn't it? You ever got a hankering for something? All of a sudden you just... you know what happens to me sometimes? Once in a while, I'll say, you know what I could go for? A good, nice, cold glass of milk. Yeah. And, you know, yeah. I could really go for Taco Bell, you know, whatever. But sometimes your body's going to say, I really want something. And you have a, has that ever happened? You're all looking at me like, that's never happened to me. No. Yeah. But now sometimes, listen, sometimes isn't it actually something maybe not too bad for you that you just all of a sudden have a desire for? Yeah. That's your body telling yourself what you need. That's all. Listen to your body when it comes to that stuff. Amen. You may have the kind of body where you can't eat certain things. They don't agree with your system. Right? So then don't eat them. All I'm saying is don't make it where that's for somebody else. This is the thing you need to learn more than everything else is everybody's different. Everybody's different. So this idea of you're coming down with one kind of diet plan that works for everybody is impossible. You understand that? You were made different. Your genetics have so much to do with it more than anything. Huh? Well, I knew old Grandpa, he lived to be 96, and he smoked and drank whiskey all his life. Well, amen. And another person that smokes and drinks whiskey dies when they're 42. Why? See? Their body was made where they can handle that, and the other one wasn't. That's all. See? So it's individuality when it comes to that stuff. There's some people here, listen, you're going to be prone to things like skin cancer. Huh? And I could do everything that you do and eat what you do, and it never bothered me. I don't have a proclivity towards that. Some of you are going to have a proclivity towards heart disease. Yeah, you are. It's genetic. Runs in your family. Right? And others don't. Some of you have a proclivity towards obesity. Huh? There's some of you in here, you're skinny as a rail, and you eat three times as much as I do. It ain't fair. It ain't right. But why is that? Because we're all different. That's all. Amen? So you can't have this one-size-fits-all mentality when it comes to any of that stuff. Now, as far as food goes in the Bible, there's only one food, if you want to look there in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 9, one food in the whole Bible that I found that I have to recommend to you based on Bible. Well, first of all, here in 1 Timothy, he makes it pretty plain that you need to eat meat. All right? Another one is found in Mark chapter 9. Look at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, and look with me, please, in verse 59, or 50, verse 50. Mark 9, verse 50. Salt is good. Who said that? Only thing he ever said about food that was good. It's that right there. So what's all this talk about salt being bad for you? Well, see, Jesus was talking about sea salt. Nonsense. He's talking about salt that they get from the ground. That's where they were getting it from back then. Ain't nothing changed with that. As a matter of fact, anything now, they iodize it. So now it's good for your thyroid too, right? Salt is good. Is that what it says? Well, then that's all I can tell you. Meat with a lot of salt on it and lots of water. Try it. You know, if that's all you ate was meat, salt, and water, you know how much weight you'd gain? You couldn't gain weight. It'd be impossible. Just threw that out there. You do what you want with it. But I'm just telling you, from a biblical perspective, if you want to talk about food, that's the only things in the Bible that it says are good. I think drinking lots of water is good for you, as long as it's clean water. But, you know, I wouldn't go to Mexico and say that, but, you know, bottled water. But the idea is, it's a lot of water. I think that your body is mostly a water system, so that makes sense to drink lots of water. You can't really drink too much. It's going to go somewhere, you know. It's not a bad idea. I'll read you this thing here that Sam Gipp, he's got a diet out. Did you read this? It says, I've been to a doctor and had blood work done. Here's the scoop. Now, Brother Gipp, I guess he's about 54, something like that. I hope I'm not going way too high on him if he gets this. He might not appreciate that. I have no cholesterol problems, no sugar problems, normal blood pressure, and the thickness of my arteries is below average for my age. Somebody help them out back there. I've always said that I'm in bad shape due to my neck and back, but not bad health. In other words, because he had a broke neck, he's in bad shape. But he's not in bad health. You understand the difference? Right. Now, if I have been eating wheat germ, barley green, no red meat, and every other never die diet, people would credit my ridiculous diet for these results and eat anything I gave the credit to. Is that the truth or not? See, if he was eating certain things, he could, this is the way to go. Look at him. He's got good health, and look what he's been eating. He said, I could write a book and make millions while suckers all over the country would be eating sawdust, old newspaper, recycled plastic, or whatever other crazy thing I recommended. Well, if it's all about diet, then I feel obligated to share the secrets of my test results free. Number one, don't get pickle or onion on your double whopper. Number two, for salad, eat only lettuce, cheese, and croutons smothered in ranch dressing. This is what he does. This is his diet. Order the original Kentucky Fried Chicken, not the extra crispy. Have your steak cooked medium rare. Eat the fat on your pork chop. Walk as much as possible. I think that's a good idea. Don't eat any special, organic, healthy, or low cholesterol foods. Now that, he hit it on the head right there. The worst stuff you can do for your body is all that junk right there. All that diet food, honest to God, it's the worst stuff for your body you can eat right there. It's all unnatural. See? How about real butter? Well, they see, they came out back, I can remember, man, I was a kid, and they came out and said, oh, real butter, you need margarine. So they all started coming out with margarine. Now they've determined that that stuff is 10 times worse for you. And all that time, people were eating that. Yeah. Yeah. Don't eat any special organic, healthy, or low cholesterol foods. Don't believe a thing your TV tells you about your health. That's the best advice he gave right there. Amen. What's all over the TV? What are they talking? That's what it's all talking about right there. Why? Be afraid. Be very afraid. We're out to help you. We're from TV land. We know what's best for you. Trust us. That's what's going on with all that stuff. It's cradle-to-grave mentality. It's the government's going to help us with our health. It's the public school system is going to help us with our health. And number nine, don't believe a thing the health experts say. Now, it's a good reason not to, because every single one of them are going to die. Oh, the doctor, he saved my life. No, he prolonged it. You're still going to die. Okay, we're all okay there? You understand that? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just letting you know that you will die. Adam and Eve ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we all die because of that. Amen? We could have lived forever. And God said, don't let them take off the tree of life and live forever. Right? Then God wants you dead. Right? Why? Because He already knows this body is sinful, it's no good. He don't want you to live forever in this body. He's promised you a new one. Therefore, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Why are you all worried about death for all the time? I thought you were saved. Amen. Now come on. I'm not saying, you know, go out early. I'm just telling you, I had a tick bite the other day and everybody was worried. Well, you know, and it messed me up for a couple of days. I had a fever and everything. It was real bad. But you know what? If God wants me to die because of a tick bite, you know what I'm going to do about it? And then I get to go to heaven. And I didn't die doing wrong. I didn't purposely go find the tick, you know. And see? If I'm doing right eating meat, and somebody says I died because of it, glory to God. I got to go to heaven with a smile on my face and get a new body, and I didn't die for doing wrong. What's wrong with that? You know, the problem is, some of you are just so afraid of dying. And the devil knows it. Now, let's look. I want to help you live healthy. And live long. Although there's no guarantees. But you know, the Bible does talk about health. The Bible does tell about how you can live a long life. Look in 3 John, right before Jude, Revelation, 3 John. And what's strange is even in a lot of churches today, they're talking about don't eat too much fat, or don't do this, or don't do that, or get your exercise and everything else to try and live long, and that's not Bible. But there is stuff in the Bible on how to live a long life. There is stuff in the Bible on how to be healthy. But none of it has to do with what you're eating or how you're exercising. 3 John, look with me in verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I don't wish bad health on anybody or on myself. I want to be healthy. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be healthy. See? I'm just telling you that you're going about it the wrong way if you're trusting what you're putting in your mouth instead of trusting the living God who it is that gave you life in the first place. See? Look back there in 1 Timothy chapter 4. What did he say? First Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is. What does that mean? According to what we just read, if you'll live godly, God's given you the promise of long life. At least as long as you're destined to have. Right? When they came to get Jesus and they kept not being able to get Him, the Bible says His hour hadn't come yet. There's an appointed time for every one of us. Okay? But the idea is don't shorten it. You can shorten it, but the Bible says you can lengthen it. But none of it has to do with what you're eating. I know that's a shock. I understand. You've been brainwashed for years now. This stuff's been going on. Right? It started with the food pyramid 20 years ago, and it's gone on since then. Good night, man. 30 years ago, you could go to the store and buy stuff, and you wouldn't even know how many calories were in it. You wouldn't be able to read the food label, because there wasn't one. And people lived. Now, Christians are spending more time reading food labels than they are the Word of God. Help yourself. There's no promise from God that that's going to help you live longer. Do what you want. It's your house, your home, your body. I'm trying to tell you from the Word of God how to live long and healthy. Because the Bible does have some stuff to say about it. Look in Proverbs chapter 16. Godliness is profitable in all things, having a promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Proverbs chapter 16. And verse 24. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. Now, personally, I believe a healthy body is somebody that has healthy bones. That's just my personal belief. I think your health starts in your bones, all of it. The marrow in your bones is what produces your blood. And the life of the flesh is in the blood. Therefore, it all starts within bones. I believe that. You got healthy bones, you'll have a healthy body, and vice versa. See? And what did he say? How are you going to have healthy bones? Pleasant words. Rock music is bad for you. It's not pleasant words. All that banging, all that loud music and everything else is bad for you. It's messing up your bones. Listen to good preaching and good music and all, it'll help your bones. I didn't write that. I just believe it. You don't have to believe it. Just don't tell me you're a Bible believer. I believe it. I believe that what it says is what it means. And what it says is, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Well, what do you think that really means? I think it really means what it says. Yeah, you know, that's all. Now, you want to be healthy? God tells you how to do it. 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. The point is why isn't this stuff being proclaimed all over the land if everybody's worried about a long life? They just had something on one of these programs that the new thing now is a low calorie diet will increase your lifespan up to 20%. If you only eat like 1,200 calories a day or something like that. And eventually it slows down your metabolism, it slows down the aging process in your body. Can you imagine going for 11 years, never eating more than 1,200 calories a day? We sure couldn't have dinner on the grounds today, that's for sure. Could you imagine doing that for 11 years and then die because somebody dropped a piano on your head? Or you died in a plane crash or an auto accident? You can be as healthy as you want and still die if God isn't protecting you. Y'all ever see me drive? Don't you know God's protecting me? Amen. People are praying for me. It's obvious. I could eat as healthy as a horse. It wouldn't matter. I'd, you know, die out there on the highway. And so could you, because you could be the best driver in the world. Come over the top of that hill and there's a truck coming right at you. You ain't doing nothing. You're saying, hello, Jesus. That's all you're doing. First Kings chapter 3 and verse 11. God said unto him, Now he's talking to Solomon. What had Solomon just done? He said, God, give me a wise and understanding heart so I can judge these people. He didn't ask for the riches. He didn't ask for all the other things you might ask of. In other words, God said, I'm going to give you one shot. Ask anything. Kind of like the old story of the genie in the bottle. You know, ask anything you want, and I'll give it to you. That was basically what God was telling Solomon, right? It's like the three guys that were on the desert island and they found the little, you know, the lamp. And they rub it. And all of a sudden this genie pops out. And he says, oh, all three of you, since all three of you are here, instead of giving one person three wishes, I'll give each of you one wish. And the first guy said, wow, in that case, I wish I was back home with my family and I had $1 million. Your wish is my command. Boom, granted, boom, there it is. Boom. Back home, back with his family, God gives him $1 million. Next guy says, wow, in that case, I want to go back home to my family and I want $2 million. Gene says, no problem, your wish is my command. Boom, back to his family he goes, $2 million, having a great time. Third guy says, man, I don't know what to ask for. I wish those other two guys were back here to help me. And so anyway, he asked that, and God is granting him his request here in verse 11. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself, what? What would be the first thing that most people would normally ask for? Long life. First thing God puts on that list, Solomon, of all the things you could have asked for, normally, most people, if they had one request, they would ask for what? A long life. Neither has asked riches for thyself, nor has asked the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither shall after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Now watch this, verse 13. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked. What was the first thing he should have asked for? But he doesn't say that. What does he say? Both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee in all thy days. Now watch it, verse 14. And if, see that word if? Would you agree with me that means there's a condition? Okay. What does he say, verse 14? And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen your days. According to what? Godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is. Now, why isn't that being preached? Why is all this other nutrition and everything? I'm telling you, it's the doctrine of devils. Because God makes it real clear in the Bible, if you want to live long, how to do it. And it has nothing to do with all that stuff. You know what that is? Trust you instead of trust God. That's the underlying theme behind all that. Be afraid of the food. Be afraid of the science. Be afraid of the health advisors instead of fearing God. That's the doctrine of devils. That's the seduction of those spirits behind it. That's where it all goes. Look with me in Psalm 91. Psalm 91. You're doing good. I think we'll try and make it through this morning and be done with it. All right, Psalm 91 and verse 9. Psalm 91, 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. That's what the devil quoted to Jesus, wasn't it? But what was he wanting Jesus to do? Jump off the building. Well, God's giving you a promise, you know, you don't tempt the Lord, right? Yeah, I'm going to have evil, so you jump out in front of onto the highway in front of a moving car. Well, that was your own fault. Use some sense, use some wisdom. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. I got fast angels. They're right alongside my car. And they keep up with me. They got to be fast. Amen. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. Because he did what? Set his love upon me. I will deliver him. Thou shalt tread upon the lion. Verse 13. The adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I'll deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Well, there you go. Look at verse 15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? Is that a promise from God? Well, amen. Now, what is there about what kind of food you're supposed to eat? How many carbohydrates? How much fat? How much cholesterol? How much salt? Not mentioned. What was mentioned? Obeying God and loving Him. See? You want to live long? That's how to do it. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Why is this a new concept to Christianity? See? Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 20. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 20. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. That thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. There's the promise. It's God that's going to give you a long life. And you better trust Him, and not some health and wellness expert. Amen. Now look two places. Look back in Deuteronomy chapter 5. When you find Deuteronomy 5, hold it and look over with me in Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6. Look with me, please, in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, according to the Bible, if you honor your mother and your father, God has promised you something. The first time He promised you anything for keeping any of the commandments, He promises in this commandment here. He says, if you will honor your mother and your father, I'll do something for you. What was the promise? Look back in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5, look with me please in verse 16. Here's a reading of the law of the Ten Commandments. Notice what He says in verse 16 of Deuteronomy 5. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. Why? That thy days may be prolonged, that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. What's the promise? Long life. For honoring your mother and your father. You know, I've seen some of those Orientals, and they seem to live a long time. It must be all the fish they eat. No, it's the fact that they honor their father and their mother. They're not Christians, many of them. But if you honor your mother and your father, God has given you a promise that you'll live longer. Amen. I got to tell my boys, you want to live long? Honor me. Or we'll make it real short. My dad used to tell me, boy, I brought you into this world and I'd take you out. That was his, you know. Look there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Now the Bible's really clear on what you need to do to live a long life. And none of it has to do with anything about what you're eating. What does it have to do with? Godliness. Godliness. Do right. Love God. Fear God. Love His words. Obey His words. Seek wisdom. Seek understanding. It'll be healthy to you. It'll help you live a long life. You say, is that a overall thing? No. Listen, some may just die young because that's what God determined, and that's fine. The will of the Lord be done. But the best thing you can do, I'm trying to tell you, isn't your diet. The best thing you can do is fear God. Now, if God shows you that you need to eat certain things that He wants you to eat for the way your body is that'll help you live longer, then do what God says to do. But that's an individual thing. You understand? All right. Stay with me now. And look, please, in Proverbs. Let's get some wisdom from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. Notice this isn't one or two verses we're looking at. This thing is all the way through the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Pretty plain, isn't it? Want to live a long life? God's told you how. God's told you how. All right, let's try it again. Look down in verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and, here it is again, marrow to thy bones. It's good to fear God and serve Him. It's healthy. Look in verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all things that thou canst desire not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Look down in verse 19. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath established the heavens. By His knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Well, there's a promise from God. God's going to protect you. You think of all the bad things that could happen to you to mess you up and get you hurt, and God's promised to preserve you in all those things. Verse 26, for the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Amen. You won't fall into a trap. You won't fall into a hole and die. You won't do all the things you could do. God's going to protect you, He said, if you'll seek Him, if you'll do right. You have a promise from God of His mercy and of His protection upon you. And that'll help you live a long life. Because listen, many people have a healthy body but die at a young age just because of dumb things. I guess the latest thing out now is I was hearing about the... In the papers, they got these Farm parties? Farm parties. P-H-A-R-M. And the teenagers are all getting together and all of them just bring whatever they find in the medicine cabinet from their parents or whatever. Pharmacies. Just taking all the drugs and they throw them all into a big dish. And then everybody that comes in, you just grab whatever and take it. We've got kids dying doing that. You do that kind of stuff, that's just foolishness. And the Bible's real clear about a fool and his days being shortened because of the foolish things that he does. Amen. That's why it's good to fear mom and dad, because they're going to keep you out of... Don't run out in the street. Right? I ain't listening to my parents. Good. Boom! It pays to listen to mom and dad. It's healthy. Amen. They keep you living longer. Look in chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Look with me in verse 4. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Well, there you go. There you go. And that's the promise from God. Look down at verse 10. Verse 10. Hear, O my son, receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Now, how many more verses do we need to look at? Isn't it pretty plain from the Bible that there is a promise from God for long life, but none of it has anything to do with eating or exercising? It has to do with doing right, with fearing God and living a godly life. And that's what needs to be being preached, and those are the books that need to be being sold, not all this other garbage. And yet there's a sucker born every minute. Why? They'd rather do all that stuff than fear God and obey Him. Yeah, see? Easy way out. That's all that stuff is. And people are spending billions of dollars in this country on all that stuff. And God already gave you a promise from His Word what to do to live long. You don't have to listen to me. See ya. I'm trying to help you. All right? You're going to get more out of this. Listen, if you take heed to what's being talked about this morning, you'd get more out of this than all the diet seminars and food seminars and health seminars you listen to all your entire life. Amen. Look in Psalm 34. Psalm 34. I'm going to make sure we have a good dinner on the grounds today. Go just help yourself, whatever you want, not have to worry about a thing. But you know what we're going to do first? We're going to pray. We're going to ask God to bless it. We're going to give thanks for it. And we're going to promise that, Lord, if you just keep us going, we're going to live it for you. Huh? Amen. Psalm 34, look with me in verse 12. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. There's the promise from God. You want to live long? He said, keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking guile, depart from evil and do good, because God's watching. Amen. What happened to Hezekiah? What happened to Hezekiah? Do you know? You know the story of Hezekiah? He's fixing to die. He was sick. And he prayed and got a hold of God. And God said, Hezekiah, you've done right. You've done good, and because of it, you got a hold of me. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Hezekiah. I'm going to give you 15 more years of life. Who gave it to him? What special diet did he go on? What exercise program did he put him on? Yeah, amen. Yeah, knee bends. That's a good one. Amen. All right, Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, we've got to hurry. Isaiah 58. Verse 4. Isaiah 58 and verse 4. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul and to bow down his head as a bulrush, to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will I call this a fast and acceptable day to the Lord? No, they're doing it with the wrong motive, with the wrong intentions. But a godly fast promises good health and a long life. But that's not the intention behind it. That's why you're doing it wrong. It's kind of like giving because you're expecting God to give you more. That's wrong. You're supposed to give because God loves a cheerful giver and you want to please Him. Now, if there's a benefit of reaping because of that, praise the Lord. You see? Reaping and sowing. Here's the idea here. Verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Amen. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. You get right with God when you're fasting and praying. You get some things cleaned up, and you get some victory over some sins, it'll be good for your health. Amen. All right. Now look with me back in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Quickly, 1 Timothy chapter 4. And honestly, all this stuff, when you get right out into it and you follow it to its end, every time if you get into any of these big diets and stuff that are out there and these health kicks and these health nuts, I'm telling you right now, you know where it's always going to end up? At your end. It's a strange thing. Coffee enemas. You're not spiritual unless you get coffee colonics. Yeah, I've been through it. I mean, I haven't done it, but I mean, I take my coffee orally only. That's the way it's meant to be taken. You know, fecal inspections. You say, what's that? We're in church. I'm not going to explain it to you. Ask me later. But it's disgusting to make sure you're healthy and eating right and eating all your grape nuts or whatever, you know. What did he say, verse 7? But refuse profane and old wives' fables. Profane. See that word profane? What does that mean? Profanity. That's why I can't explain it to you. It's disgusting. But that's where that stuff always goes to. It goes right there. That's about where it needs to be left to. Amen. All right, now look with me, please, in Job chapter 2. The devil knows man. Why is this stuff so powerful? Why is it that these doctrines of devils and this seducing spirit has got so many Christians running around as health nuts, worried about the environment or whatever else, instead of the things God said to worry about in His Word? It's real simple. The devil's smarter than man. He's been around for over 6,000 years, and he's got man figured out. He had him figured out a long time ago. Look with me in the book of Job. Let me show you. Job chapter 2. Job chapter 2. The devil knows this much about man for sure. Look in Job 2 and verse 4. Job chapter 2 and verse 4. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. He knows man. And he knows when it comes down to it, he knows what scares man more than anything else. Losing his life. And all of a sudden all these experts come out and say, we'll help you. Eat this, don't eat this, just make yourself completely miserable, but trust us. And everything will be okay. No, you'll still die. See? But that's how the devil gets his foot in the door. It's that right there. He knows man. See? He knows that man will do anything for that thing right there. But I'm telling you right now, if you really will do anything for it, God told you how. Do right. Live godly. Turn from your sin. Trust Christ. Believe His words. Do the best of your ability to obey them. Fear God. Seek wisdom. Say, what is it? Godliness. godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. He came to that man in the garden and he said, I'll tell you what, you're doing okay, but you could do a little bit better. Eat this. Isn't that how he started out? Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. And so it's been dealing with this thing ever since. It's been the problem. Look there in Matthew chapter 16. Quickly, Matthew 16. Got to get through this. Matthew 16. Matthew 16 and verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Now, I've given you a choice. You can take the doctrines and the teachings of men on how to live a long life, or you can take the doctrines and the teachings of God. Which one you think the devil prefers? It's called doctrines of devils for a reason. It's the commandments of men over the commandments of God. That's the idea. Philippians, look there, Matthew. Well, you know that one. Philippians chapter 3. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, Jesus said, Man doth not live by bread alone, but by what? Amen. How about that for a diet? Nourished up in faithful words, as he said in 1 Timothy 4. Look there in Philippians chapter 3. Why is the devil pushing this thing? Real easy. Look here in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, save as us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now I'll tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Huh? What does that mean? It means what it says. They're enemies of the cross. Look there in verse 18. Many walk of whom you told often, and tell you even now weeping, they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. Whose God is their belly, who mind earthly things. So 1 Timothy 4, the whole idea in all this is that right there, to get you to mind the earthly things instead of the God who has created it all. Godliness is profitable in all things. Obey His words and do right. Don't let your belly become your God. Like I said, when you're spending more time reading nutrition labels than you are the Word of God, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Amen? All right, let's finish it up. 1 Timothy 4, beginning in verse 7. But refuse. You say, what does that mean? It means refuse it. Don't believe it. Don't accept it. Refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto what? Godliness. Amen. That's where we ought to be concentrating on. Godliness, not the rest of it. Hey, sister, welcome back. Praise the Lord. But for a bodily exercise profiteth little. But godliness. What ought we be concentrating on, huh? Godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life now is unto that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. You ought to be accepting this. It's worthy of it. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach. Why? Because we trust in the nutrition labels. Because we trust in the health experts. Because we trust in the doctrines of devils. No. Because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. These things command and teach. That's all I've been doing. Trying to obey the Bible. How about we all try and do that? See how we do. Amen. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith over that stuff right there. Now, You've been warned. Let's trust God. Let's not be seduced. And I desire, brethren, above all things, that you may prosper and that you may be in good health. But the way to do it is to fear God. Give glory to Him. Seek His wisdom. Seek His words. Desire to be nourished up in that. Do right. Godliness is profitable unto all things. Amen. Let's stand for prayer. Rusty, would you close us in prayer, please?